We greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Good to be with you again this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy to us, Lord. We just ask your blessing, Father, upon this time together. Lord, help us to use this time wisely, Father, that you've given us. Lord, open our hearts and our minds to your word. Fill us with your spirit. Give us wisdom, Father. Give us eyes to see, Father, the world around us. Lord, help us to see past that as well, Father, and into eternity, Father. Give us solid hearts, Lord, anchored in the rock of our salvation. Lord, again, we just thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says in the last days, perilous times will come. We think about that sometimes. We just forget, I think, that perilous times have been here before. They've been with us from the very beginning. I'm going to read in 2 Peter. Chapter 2 and verse 1. We shared the thoughts about time this morning. And also as we read through this and think about this, remember the song that we sang earlier, Does Jesus Care? And that's, we get our focus sometimes. We focus on all the things around us instead of what is real and what's important. Keeping our eyes on eternity. Things around us, it doesn't really matter what happens around us. We lose sight of that sometimes, but it doesn't matter. There's been bad times, there'll be bad times, and until the Lord returns, there'll be more bad times. And one thing I think we need to focus is on Jesus, and he cares. You know, it may seem like he's not even here. It may seem like he's just, where is he? You know, you think about that sometimes. We don't pursue seeing miracles and put our faith in the things that we've seen and done. We have our faith in him and what he said and his word. We have our faith, you know, that a lot of times faith is kind of something that's hard to put your finger on, but if we read the Bible and understand it and hear about what faith is a definition of faith is your response to God's claim on your life. You know, we'll read here a little about Noah. Noah could have said he had faith and believed in God, but it wasn't until he went out and got his hammer and his saw and started building a boat that's what saved him, his faith in what God told him to do. He did it. Some people think, well, that's works. Well, works and obedience are two completely different things. Works is whenever you're trying to impress God, or you're just trying to please God by the things you're doing. And obedience is you yielding your heart, repenting, turning your life away from yourself to God. And that real faith is just a direct response to what God is asking of you. And he gives us clear ideas of how that is in his word. Keep our hearts focused on those things as we live through these times that are going around us. Let's read here. It says, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there is also false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. It says, many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be maligned. You know, there's people today, I mean, there's times whenever there was kind of a revivals in this world, and people respected God and feared God. Today, he's despised, and Christianity is looked down upon. And most of that blame can be laid right at Christianity. It has not done what it's supposed to do. It has not performed the way it should have. And I think one of the main reasons is that is because we've forgotten that Christ and his teachings are the center of Christianity, not the church, not just the things we believe. And so we live in a time where people have came in the name of Christ and spoke in the name of Christ and done the way of the world. And that has maligned just the very even idea of Christianity. It's just so difficult to even talk about God because of the images people have. You know, I read or heard a book, or read part of it, or listened to it, that one of the premises was that has Christianity done more good in the world than it has bad? And a big majority of a lot of the so-called Christian populations now believe that Christianity has done more harm in the world than good. And that's Christianity, not followers of Jesus. There's a great difference. I mean, they attribute all the wars and a lot of the bad things that have gone on in the world to Christianity because someone was holding a cross up at the front of the battle. And they blame Christ. That's what he's talking about, false prophets. He will be maligned. Faith will be maligned. It'll be set aside and taught about wrong. In their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to the pits of darkness reserved for judgment. This is going through this. He's talking about all of these things, although they may seem overwhelming to us. It is so hard to try to talk to anybody about God when everybody already knows about God. And so what he's telling us is don't worry about that. He didn't spare the angels that fell. He took care of it. And he did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. You know, shortly after creation, or shortly after the Bible, Genesis chapter 6 is where it begins to talk of this, that God looked upon the earth and he regretted even creating man. But then he saw Noah, a faithful man, and he preserved Noah and his family. All the things that were going on at that time, I don't think could even compare to what we actually see ourselves. I mean, there's other things that are bad, but there was some evil in the world at that time. But God preserved Noah. You know, the Bible verse in Matthew, it says that one of the disciples asked Jesus, he said, will there few be saved? And Jesus said, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. You know, I don't know how many people were in the world in Noah's time. But do you know how many he saved? There was eight. That isn't a very big number. compared to the no telling how many thousands, maybe millions and millions of people that even lived in that earth at that time. But 8 were saved. And he did not spare the ancient world. You see, the whole world. You know, we see the world and we see all the things in it and everything about it. God didn't spare any of it. He destroyed it all and saved 8 people, basically, because one of them was a righteous man. Verse 6, and if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by reducing them to ashes, having made them an example to those who would live ungodly lives afterward. I think King James says, but remember Sodom. But remember these things. Because we forget. But, you know, we see the things going around us. Men are confused. Women are confused. Everything's all messed up. There's how many different kinds of perversions. Homosexuality, all those wicked things that are going on around us. They've been here before. They've been here before. And if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by reducing them to ashes, he rained fire and brimstone down upon that wicked city. And if he rescued righteous Lot, oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men. See, this is what he's talking about here. Lot was living in a time, a bad time. For by what he saw and heard, that righteous man, while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day by their lawless deeds. You know, we see what's going on around us. It's all happened before. And it hurt the righteous man when it was going on. He wasn't offended. This hurt his soul, the things that are going on around. Wasn't just because he didn't like it and put on a religious air and went out and got mad. He was hurt in his soul. It tormented his soul, the things that were going around him. Then it says, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the righteous under punishment for the day of judgment. Does Jesus care? Does Jesus care when the whole world is falling apart around us? You know, we just see and hear a lot of this stuff. We don't even live in an area where we're just oppressed by it or controlled by it that much. We just hear about it and fall apart. That's why we need the rock. Our trust needs to be in not how good we are or how well we perform, because that don't really matter to a hill of beans. Our faith is to be in Christ and trusting in Him to guide us through these things, trusting His words, believing them, knowing that although all things around us may be falling apart, He's still got it in His hands. It's happened before. And you know, this remembrance is not just the remembrance of the destruction. That's what we think about, is how God destroyed all these things. Remember that He delivered some people out of it. That's something that should be rejoiced about. It should bring hope to us and courage that this world is messed up. And God doesn't care whether He has to destroy the whole thing or not. But He will deliver the righteous out of it. Isn't that a blessing? Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. God's got it in His hands. We need to remember that. You know, it's so easy for us to get tossed to and fro by our emotions, by our fears, by all those things. Those things are not anything that will carry us through. Faith. Trust. Believing will carry us through. The Bible talks about being tossed to and fro with the wind. Imagine a little cork or a little bitty ship out in the middle of the ocean raging. It just is tossed back and forth. That's what your emotions will do. That's what your fear will do to you. And it'll just bust up your ship without even hitting anything. You know, and we see all these things going on around us, and we get afraid and we get scared. Maybe what's going to happen if it happens to us? Or we're attacked, or something goes on bad right here with us, or we're asked to deny our faith or quit loving the Lord. It doesn't even have to happen for our vessel to be destroyed. Fear, emotions, all those things, they'll do it for him. And one of the reasons, we've talked about it before, that God didn't destroy the world completely was because there was a Noah, a preacher of righteousness. You know, we have a lot of people that like to think they're Noahs. They just want to keep coming up with new rules and stricter ideas and a better doctrine, and they just exclude themselves until they're the only one in the world that's righteous. But that's not righteousness, being separated. Righteousness is living right in the middle. Righteousness is knowing how to get along with people, how to love people, right in the middle of the storm. Now, Jesus said, the world will know you because of your love one for another. Whenever brethren love brethren, the world sees that. If the brethren can't love the brethren, we have nothing to offer the world. The Lord knows how to rescue the godly. Noah. The world was preserved because there was a Noah, and he took his family with him. Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, we've told the story about Sodom, that how Abraham heard the plan that God was going to destroy Sodom. And God went out and pled, or Abraham went and pled with God. God, if there's 50 people in Sodom, will you not destroy it? He said, if there's 50 people, I won't destroy it. And he went down the list until he got down to 10. And he said, if there are 10 righteous people there, I will not destroy it. The reason Sodom was destroyed is because there wasn't enough righteousness to preserve it. There wasn't enough godly people to preserve it. When that ratio gets so low, God will deliver them and destroy the rest of it. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. You know, God made it evident to them. If we really look at things, it is so simple and so clear if we would just open our eyes and look at it. For instance, abortion. You know, they said there's over 3 million abortions a year in the United States. It is the second leading killer of human beings behind heart. It is ahead of cancer, abortions. More little babies die through abortions than people die of cancer in a year. And there's people that argue that, oh, it's just a fetus, it's just nothing. It's just a pregnancy, no big deal. And they've convinced themselves that there's not a little baby they're snuffing the life out of. You know, the same people have laws that say if you break an egg of a turtle, there's a $25,000 fine for doing that. And they say that's a life when it's just an egg. The same people will turn around and murder babies. There's a reason for that. You know, let's read on here. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God, nor give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. You know, we think that these things that are happening in the world, that God is going to judge the world because of the things that are happening. That's not the way it is. The things that are happening in the world are because God has given people over. Read this next verse. Therefore God gave them over to the lust of their hearts, to impurity, so their bodies would be dishonored among them. The things that are going on in the world are not going to bring a curse on the world. They are the curse. The things that are happening among us and all around us are happening because God has withdrawn Himself from the world, because they've rejected Him. They've refused Him. You know, we try to reason with people about these things, and there's no reasoning left. There's no light there. There's nothing to hear. If God has given someone over to a corrupt mind, why would I even convince, or why would I even begin to try to convince them of something? There's no light there. There's nothing that we can do. We'll keep on reading. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26 again. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men, committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. Man with God doesn't do those things. Man with God, there's a hope. The things that are going on in this world are because God has given up on a lot of this world. He's turned this world over to a depraved mind. The only hope. Sometimes it gets to the place the only hope is for the righteous just to be faithful. The wonderful thing about it is as the righteous are faithful, that light can spread as well. A little bit of light spread in a dark world. That's what we're called to be. But if we're all afraid, or we're scared about how corrupt the world is becoming, or how crazy the world is becoming, and if we let it upset us, we're not being what we're supposed to be. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. Emotions, fears, they can crash our boat without hitting a thing. But faith can rest in a rock. You know, the rock on the edge of the sea, doesn't matter how crazy the waves are, the water crashes all around it, the wind blows and howls, lightning thunders, but the rock just stays there. Doesn't matter how crazy the world is, that rock is more powerful than anything it can throw at them. That rock will rise up and crush the whole world. It'll destroy it. Our opportunity is just to hang on to that rock while we're in this world. No matter how crazy it gets, no matter what goes on, no matter how wicked it seems, no matter how evil it appears, it didn't happen that way without God. God knows all about it. In fact, he gets to the place where he just says, if that's what you want, I'll let you have it, and turns it off. It's a fearful thing. God, help us to be faithful, to be among the righteous that are watching, waiting, trusting for His return. Anyone have anything you'd like to share?
That certainly ought to temper our anger that those that are suffering that judgment.
Yeah, that doesn't mean just God can save. I mean, there can be people washed ashore out of that mess even. But in the general overall scheme of things, He turns them over. They're in His hands. Yeah, it doesn't. For us to be all angry and upset and just become self-righteous and thank God that we're not a part of that, that's just the next step to getting caught up in it a different direction. The light going out somewhere else.
Appreciate the perspective on all the things that are going on in the world and all the craziness, because it can bother you if you let it.
Mm-hmm.
But bad stuff's been happening for a long time. And it's just good to keep perspective.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Our assignment for this morning was to bring something that we appreciate about helping others. And I think one thing I think is neat is how God made it natural that if somebody helps us, then we want to help them back. And so it's kind of a cycle that keeps going on. There's a saying that kind of explains it. One good turn deserves another. I think that's just really neat.
I thought about a book that we used to have. It said, if you're working for an employer or living in a community, let your employer benefit because of you. Or if in a community, let your community be a better place because you live there. And that reminded me of what David has often said about God has shown us some kindness or done something for us. We can reflect that to others, and that just kind of shows that we're thankful for what has been done for us.
There were a couple times this week when one of my siblings needed help with something, or one of my parents needed me to do some chore, and I was tempted to think, well, it's not really my job, and the person who's supposed to be doing it is over there lying on the couch reading a book. But then I thought, wouldn't it be so much better if I could just help out in whatever way is needed instead of constantly trying to make sure I'm not doing what somebody else is supposed to be doing, or trying to make sure that that I'm not being taken advantage of. And so I just decided to just help out.
Some of my little siblings, they like to, you know, try learning instruments, like learning the piano. And I kind of like, I don't guess spend much time, you know, teaching them stuff, but I like to help them out and simplify things that were pretty hard for me to learn or took, yeah, I was like confused about for a while. And it's real nice just to be able to simplify it and, you know, show them how simple it can be and stuff like that.
Being helpful is a giving thing. And if you think about it, everything we have around us is given to us, basically. And so that's just a blessing. And so we need to be giving and help others to try to return what little we can. That's one thought I had.
God is constantly helping people and stuff, so we can do the same by just helping the people around us.
I'm helpful to others because the Bible says, do unto those as you wish to be done unto you.
Sometimes when my brothers and sisters ask me to help them with something, sometimes I don't feel quite like helping them right then, but when I help them, I feel a lot better. It's really nice.
Anytime I'm helping out people, or I think about, I always think about the verse of Matthew, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Try to put myself in the other person's situation and ask myself, if I was in this situation, would I want somebody to help me? And also, just kind of gives you the satisfaction of helping somebody out, makes your day a lot better.
Morning, everybody. This morning, I want to talk a little bit about time. Something I think about quite a bit. It's just trying to be, as far as when I'm working, but it applies to your spiritual walk even better. But not wasting time. I'll start by reading a verse in Ephesians here. Ephesians 5, verse 15 through 17 here. It says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as an unwise man, but as wise. Make the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So I was just thinking, you know, time is time is a precious gift that God gives us, and you know, we should make the most every day to strive to live for Him, to be good to the people around us, and try to show His light to others. I try to start whenever I get up in the morning, say my prayers or whatever. You know, I always try to thank God for another day, you know, and doing that sometimes, you know, I can still do that every day, but in still doing that, I can still take it for granted, you know, that God's given us another day to show us His mercy and to give us another opportunity to fix things where we messed up or just however. I think that's something that it's pretty easy to do is just to take time for granted. I mean, the Bible, you know, says in James that our lives are but a vapor, that, you know, they're here today and gone tomorrow. We shouldn't take any time for granted. We should prize every minute of it and strive to make the most of it make the most out of what God's given us time to me is just it's a very precious thing. I think about that sometimes. I mean, you know, there's people that young people that, you know, a young person that dies or gets killed or and whatever. You know, I just think, you know, their life is so short, and makes me want to make the most of my life. So, but I don't know, just kind of what. Encourage everybody and challenge everybody just to make the most of their time and just be mindful of that, I guess. But anyway, I guess that's about all I had this morning. Does anybody have any prayer requests? Father, we just come for you this morning, God, and just want to thank you, God, for all your goodness and your mercy to us and for allowing us to gather here today, and just thank you for the beautiful weather that you've given us lately, and just ask you to be with us this morning. Just open our hearts and our ears to what you have to share with us. Just ask you to also be with Kevin's as they're traveling and keep them safe, and just be with all the brothers and sisters that are here and around the world, God, and just once again, thank you for all that you do. Would you stand and pray? Amen.
For the boys' lesson next week, go ahead and give a verse or two from the parable of the sower. You can read the parable of the sower and tell how it applies to your own life.
I see the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. Thank you. Jesus.